The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Birth rates across the world continue to fall, and a lot of discussion is focused on how we tackle that issue. Is it economic incentives or is it a cultural shift? Joining me now is Wendy Grace, broadcaster and columnist, and Jane Cowan, who is a student and lifestyle columnist with the Irish Examiner. Wendy, let me start with you. This, I assume, first of all, is a rich versus poor issue. The richer areas in the world are the ones where we have the dropping birth rate. Isn't that right?
Pretty much the only part of the world that has a birth rate similar to ours in the 60s, which was about 4.1 children, is sub-Saharan Africa. Now, the most interesting piece of research that I've seen on this, which was a data scientist, Stephen J. Shaw, looked at 24 countries, wealthier countries around the world. And what he found was, I was really surprised by it, to be honest with you, was it wasn't that women were choosing to have smaller families. It was that the biggest contributing factor to plummeting birth rates was involuntary childlessness. And by that, I mean people who wanted to have a child but weren't able to have one for a variety of different reasons, whether it was starting a family too late, never meeting someone. One of the things that really shocked me about that data was, if a woman hasn't had a child by the time she is 30, what his data found was only 50% of those women will ever have a child. And that to me was just staggering, because I think we just have so much work that we need to do on fertility awareness. It's, we talk a lot about, you know, even earlier today, there's discussions on funding for fertility treatments, but often that can be too late for women. And I'm still surprised, I'm in my late 30s now, the number of friends in and around my age that still don't know the kind of basics about their own fertility. A lot of it, though, as well, is the pressure put on us, whether it's societal expectations. I think one of the biggest things at the moment is obviously economic pressures. You know, so many people delaying having a family because of the housing crisis, for example. And that's going to have long-term impacts, because our population here in Ireland and around the world is aging. So you're coupling a declining birth rate, which has changed rapidly. In the 60s, as I said, it was 4.1. Now it's 1.54. So replacement level is 2.1. And that's happened in a relatively short space of time. I think it has to be a multifaceted approach, a cultural shift that says supports families, celebrates families, as well as incentives and support from the government. Probably the cultural shift is one that will take a longer period of time. If I could, I could give you an example of in my own experience. Okay, so if I tell you I'm a company director, people say, wow, that's very impressive, Wendy, great stuff. But if I say mum of four, it's not met with the same, you know, wow, that's really great, here's a pat on the back. In other words, I think we're devaluing families, we're devaluing motherhood, and the majority of women will probably tell you that. At the same time, from an economic perspective, I know there's people listening going, you know, I'm 30, I'm still living with my mum and dad, trying to save a deposit for a house. A baby isn't on the horizon for me. Now, when you look at countries like...
Let me bring in Jane on exactly that, because Jane Cowan, as I said, student and lifestyle columnist with the Irish Examiner, you are to some extent representative of the generation in question. Therefore, let me ask the rude question. What age are you?
I'm 21.
You're 21. For you and for your peers, where does fertility, child-rearing, all of that come as a priority?
Very low down on the list at the moment. When I'm early 20s, like, it's not something my friends are talking about yet. I don't think it's kind of on anyone's mind, really. I think we're kind of entering into all of those sort of milestones a lot later, like marriage, being concerned with like a settled relationship, moving out, having kids. I think we're sort of putting those things off. And yeah, as you said, like the housing crisis and things like that are massive contributors to that.
And how much of it then is that? How much of it is an unwilling function of fate that you find yourself, if you're stuck in your parents' box room, it's not exactly the point to start a family. And how much of it is willing prioritisation, that you have other things to be getting on with in your own list of priorities before family?
Well, like personally, I'm 21, I'm still in college. The fact that I don't want a child right now is not because I'm living in my parents' house. It's because I'm young, I want a career, and I want to prioritise that first. And it seems like quite often it's something that women have to choose between. I, you know, And it's something that I'm just not interested in kids yet, but I do want a career and I want to prioritize that in my life as well. And I think that's the same for a lot of women. And maybe for my parents' generation or the generation before that, that wasn't a priority that women had, because it's not that long ago that we had the marriage bar and things like that. So I think culturally, women have other concerns.
Are you worried by the kind of stat that Wendy quoted there, that effectively, to apply it individually to you, if you don't have a child within the next 9 years, you become a 50-50 chance of ever having a child?
That doesn't really concern me. I think there's also a lot more women that are like happily choosing to be childless. There's a lot less expectation that all women want to have a child. I think, you know, a lot of women are happily owning up to the fact that that's just not an interest they have in their life, and that's fine. Like, maybe if you haven't had a child by 30, it's something you didn't really want at all.
Wendy, how much of it then do you think is to do with the binary choice of children or no children versus the desire to have big family versus small family?
Yeah, that's where I always look at the data. And what that data showed across 24 countries was that 80%, the majority of women who didn't have a child, wanted to have one but couldn't. But I find it really interesting, obviously, looking at a generation a bit younger than mine. And definitely when I was 21, yes, having a family, if you'd have told me I'd have four kids in my late 30s, I probably would have said, yeah, right. But the thing that's really telling is that having to make a choice between a bigger family or starting a family and a career, that shouldn't be the case. I think one of the key parts of this picture is parity between men and women. If we don't have equality in paternity and maternity leave, that's going to hold women back. We've seen, you know, the dial shifting slightly in countries where there is more equity there, you know, because when you think about it, if we're trying to say two children, the average is what we need to replace the population. So what is that? A 4 or 5 year break from your career? Now, if men and women were sharing that and we had equal maternity and paternity leave, that could be 2 or 3 years. That's such a small amount in a large, you know, 30, 40 year career. But that's where the cultural shift needs to happen. Look, from a purely economic perspective from these companies, if we don't have babies being born, you're not going to have employees in the future. It's interesting to see countries like Hungary and France, for example. I'd be on the pig's back if I lived in Hungary because I have 4 kids, which would mean I'd never, ever have to pay any income tax. And our income tax for my family would be quite low. I would have got a nice chunk of change to buy the 7-seater car that I had to use all of my savings to get. And things like low-cost mortgages. They're really trying to give economic incentives. This isn't about, you know, telling people who don't want children to have them. It's about supporting and encouraging those who want to begin or grow their families. Because the reality is the socioeconomic impacts down the line are huge. As I said, you know, an aging population coupled with not enough babies being born. And the sad thing is, I know that there is not a person listening to this show that either they themselves or somebody they know hasn't experienced the absolute pain and heartache of infertility. It's something we're talking about a lot more. And I do think that there's a false narrative put out there. I see a lot of people my age where they're just kind of told, and you see it in companies, instead of having generous paternity and maternity leave, they say, oh, well, we'll give you money to freeze your eggs. You know, if I freeze my eggs in my 30s and then I try to use those eggs in my late 30s, early 40s, I have a 1-2% chance of a successful birth of a child. But it's being kind of put out there that this is the solution. Okay. And I hear kind of flippantly being said, oh, I can freeze my eggs, oh, I can have IVF. But the reality is that can lead to just really, really heartbreaking situations. Gotcha. Where people who want to have children can't.
Wendy, thank you very much. Wendy Grace, broadcaster and columnist, and Jane Cowan, student and lifestyle columnist with the Irish Examiner.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.